started. It's a tough day, day before Yantiv. But how could we not learn on the day before Yantiv? So we started Birchas Kohanim last time, and I thought we would continue in Birchas Kohanim because, again, we're still in the Birchas Kohanim season. I happened to have run into Rav Daniel Feldman, not run into. We were both speaking at the same program on Sunday, and I told him that I was using his piece on Birchas Kohanim. And he proceeded to get up and give a shiur. I don't know if anyone saw this online. If you haven't seen, you must see. He was, his job at the Yisiyum was to introduce Seder Nashim. And in a 25-minute presentation, he summarized the entire Seder Nashim. It was the most remarkable thing I've ever seen in my life. Everyone's mouths were just like, what did he just do? 25 minutes summarizing the entire Seder. It's kedai to... just listen and be impressed by on Yom Torah. But anyway, so we were discussing Birchas Kohanim. So he said, if I have any ha'aras, I should let him know. So we should figure out if we have any ha'aras and what he has to say. But we began with asking a basic chakira that what is Birchas Kohanim? Is it a din in tefillah or is it a din in avoda? And there were certain halachos about Birchas Kohanim that certainly suggest more tefillah, certainly the placement of where we do it in or davening. And there are certain parts of it that suggest more avoda, that it has to be done standing, it can't be done by a kohen zovid avodah zarah. There are psulim for it, but unlike avoda, there's no psul of the tamei meis doing Birchas Kohanim. So we started to say, let's take a look at other halachos about Birchas Kohanim, and maybe through a broader view of the various different halachos of Birchas Kohanim, we'll be able to get a better appreciation of what the nature of it is. So last week we focused mostly on if you have a kohen who's an ovid avodah zarah, or more commonly, you have a kohen who's a mechal Shabbos. Someone actually came to me this week and told me that in their shul over Yom Kippur, there was a kohen that was there, who was davening with his father. The kid isn't from anymore, but he was there for Yom Kippur davening with his father, and came time for Birchas Kohanim, and he left, and he didn't do Birchas Kohanim. And they were told, and we weren't sure, why did he leave? Did he leave because he held like the shita of the Mishnah Berura that and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that a kohen that's mechal Shabbos, or not that he held, like that the rabbi of the shul held, that he's not allowed to duchen, and therefore he told him to leave before Birchas Kohanim? Or did he just leave because he had enough? It's a long day. Yom Kippur to stay in shul the whole time, so he just left and he had enough. So the guy didn't tell me what the maskana was, why he left, but it's no gei lemaisa, like I mentioned last week. I want to talk today about two other elements. One is the psul rotseach. If someone's a murderer, if someone killed, he can't do Birchas Kohanim. And the other is the issue of the role of the tzibur, the role of the Yisrael in the Birchas Kohanim, in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Meaning, is the Yisrael just, they happen to be there, they're just like a prop in Birchas Kohanim? Or is there some actual role that the Yisrael plays in Birchas Kohanim? So let's start with the Psul Rotzeach. If you look in source number 13 over here, the Gemara says, in Maseches Brachos, pretty unequivocally, Am Rabbi Yochanan, kol kohen shaharges hanefesh, any kohen that ever killed somebody, lo yisa eskapav, cannot do nesias kapayim, shene'emar, quotes a pasuk, yadechem damim malu, that your hands are full of blood. So those hands that are full of blood cannot be the same hands that serve as the conduit to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. So kohen who ever killed somebody can't do Birchas Kohanim. This paskin in Shulchan Aruch, source number 14. Shasa revi is yayin bebasachas, so yisas kapav. This is very nogea in Simchas Torah. If a kohen drank or revi is yayin at one time, he's not allowed to do nesias kapayim. That's where the minhag developed, that we do nesias kapayim by shachris, because we tend to have kiddush before Musaf on Simchas Torah. Some suggested that if you're a dry shul and no one's having a revius of yayin, maybe you should dafka have, you should still keep the nesius kapayim at Musaf. Debatable, because people still have the ability to, once you're making a kiddush, you don't know what people are really doing. So if there's going to be a kiddush before, we'll keep the nesius kapayim at Shachris, like the minig of minig Yisrael. But he goes on to say, you know what? This is the wrong sif in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, this is all about yayin. Whatever the sif is, maybe it's the next sif or the previous sif in Shulchan Aruch, says that a kohen who murdered someone, that a kohen who killed someone, also can't duchen. It's not only about revius yayin, that's just the wrong sif in Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, so we say, okay, how many people that come to our shuls are murderers anyway? It's not gonna happen so much. I have a Talmud who was a sniper in the Israeli army, and he killed several people, presumably. He doesn't talk about it that much, but, you know, if you ask him, how many people did you kill, you know, he smiles a little bit. You know, he killed several people as his job as a sniper in the army. So someone who We have a Kohen in Shul who served in the American Army in the Korean War. So very, very few Kohanim in our Shul that could have served in the Korean War, but he served in the Korean War, and he may or may not have killed people. He didn't, but I don't think he did. He almost killed someone in 1980. Right? You know that story? Someone broke into his house and he shot him. But but I said to him, Larry, where did you aim? He said, I aimed right at his chest. I hit him in the knee. he got the guy. He hit the guy in his knee, but he didn't kill him. So if a Kohen has killed someone, what about in a war? So in fact, the Chassam Sofer in Torah's Moshe, his commentary to Chumash, Chassam Sofer writes that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't remain the Kohen Gadol because he killed the Mitzri. So if he killed the Mitzri, then he couldn't be the Kohen Gadol. Chassam Sofer says he had the Psul of Rotzeh.
I understand the halakha, but shouldn't there be a distinction between killing, let's say, a Jew versus killing a...
So one issue that we're going to have to discuss is there a difference between killing a Jew versus a non-Jew? Another issue is, what is it about killing somebody that makes you possible for Birchas Kohanim? Is it the avera of killing somebody, or is it just the fact that you killed somebody, that you took a human life? Meaning, is it that you violated the Isser of Los Yirtzach, and that Isser passels you from Birchas Kohanim? Or is it, no, it wasn't an Isser. You're doing a mitzvah. You were fighting Melchemes Mitzvah. You were doing what you're supposed to do. You're fighting the Israeli army. You're protecting Am Yisrael. You're doing what you're supposed to do in Melchemes Mitzvah to protect Klal Yisrael, which has a din of Melchemes Mitzvah. So of course you're supposed to. So you didn't do any Avera, but do we still say, no, but Lamaisa, you killed someone. So it's just the fact that, bottom line is, your hands have blood on them, that itself makes you possible. That's really the issue over here. Is it the Isser? Or is it the fact that your hands have blood on them, that there's blood in your hands, that passes you from Birchas Kohanim? So the Rav Moshe has a tshuva about someone who serves in the army. If you look in source number 15, Rav Moshe in Yordei Chel Beis, in Kuf Nuches, says, Ubedvar Kohen Shenilkach Latzava, Be'is HaMelchama, V'harag Nefashos B'Melchama. Let's say you have a Kohen who served in the army. Says Rav Moshe, nothing to talk about. Pashut Shekashu Lisa Kabav. He says there's no doubt that he's allowed to do Nesias Kapayim. Damafurosh. But on Suhu Laharog Shinose Kapav, because he says it's clear that if they force someone to kill somebody, he's allowed to be Nose Kapayim because he did it ba'onas. He wasn't doing it on his own will. So and even though the halacha is, if someone holds a gun to your head and says, kill that person or I'll kill you, what's the halacha? You have to take the bullet, you have to get killed. So the guy did the wrong thing by killing someone else. Still he's allowed to be Nose Kapav because it was ba'onas that he did it. At the end of the day, he only did it ba'onas. So certainly Kal v'chomer, says Rav Moshe, the guy was drafted into the army where he was mechuyev to go to the army. That was the law and wherever he lived, and he didn't do any iser. So certainly he's not only permitted, but he's mechuyev to do nesias kapayim, says Rav Moshe, v'hu davar pashut. That is something that is obvious. Apparently it's not obvious to everybody, though. Rav Shechter recently got a shayla. Someone forwarded me an email. There's a fellow who was serving in the Israeli army, and just in the most recent war over the summer. And apparently, when you're a sniper in the army, you need two guys to serve as a sniper. There's the spotter, and there's the actual guy who pulls the trigger. So this guy was a spotter. He wasn't the one that actually pulled the trigger, but he'd be the one that would, you know, tell you what angle or whatever, you know, whatever information needs to be conveyed to the fellow who's going to pull the trigger. And he wanted to know, he said, I'm a Kohen, and he wanted to know whether he's allowed to be Nosei Kapayim. So he asked Rav Shechter this question. So I said, Rabbi Shai Shechter showed me the question. I said to him, it's an unbelievable thing that he's thinking about these things, and, you know, he's a hero of the Jewish people and all the rest. But, you know, it's a silly question. Of course he could be Nosei Kapayim. We're all helpers, you know. We're all spotters in some way. We're davening, we're saying Tehillim, we're all helping, we're all cheering them on that they should do their job and they should protect Klal Yisrael. So we're all helpers. We're all, you know, that's not called killing somebody. And he said, yeah, that's what I thought also. And that's what Rabbi Willig thought. He said, my father wasn't so sure about that. He thought that maybe that's a more active role in killing somebody. And that maybe he wasn't sure. He was mesupik about that. So apparently, I didn't get to talk to Rav Shechter about it, but apparently he was working with the assumption that even if you're in the army and you're allowed to kill and you're doing a mitzvah by killing, it's just the fact that there are blood in your hands. Again, the basic chakira is, what is it about someone who killed somebody? Is it that he did the avera of killing somebody? Or is it that he has blood on his hands? And bottom line, if you have blood on your hands, you can't do nesias kapayim. And every shaila you have about this is going to be totally, is going to go back to that chakira. Rav Shturmach discusses, what if you get into a car accident, but you were negligent, you were driving recklessly, you're going 40 miles per hour on Mill Road by the school zone, and so far we in our house we call them mitzvah notes, because it gives a more positive spin on them, so we have... not going to say which spouse. One of us has four mitzvah notes already from Mill Road. One of us works closer to Mill Road. Anyway, so the what was I saying? Yeah. So if a person is reckless, they drive recklessly. Rachman al son, they kill someone in a car accident. Are they allowed to be nosei kabayim? Do you say that they have blood on their hands? So if you assume that it's a din in the iser ritzicha, did they do what we would call it, what we would call iser ritzicha? They were reckless and someone died. I don't know if that's an iser ritzicha. They're not chayv misa for that. But if you would say that, I mean, they weren't part of galus either because they were posheya. They weren't. It wasn't a shogeg. But if you say that it's not that it's just about having blood in your hands, maybe they do have blood on their hands. Rav Shturmbach in Chelik Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph of Tshuvas VaHanhagos in the bottom of page 5 deals with this question, and he says the Prima Gadim writes. He says this would be tali on whether killing a guy, when a person kills an Ovid Kochavim, whether he apostles him from Metzius Kapayim. He says the Prima Gadim writes that even if you kill a guy, Eino Nase Kapav. Now again, that would seem to be tali in this Chakira. If you hold that it's all about the Isser Ritzicha as we know it, this Chamar Avera that you get killed for, that's your Chayv Misa for, that's your Harik Val Yavar, that's only Ritzichas Yehudi. That's not by Ritzicha Veneinu Yehudi. A person's not Chayv Misa for it's Aser. So maybe that shouldn't be a severe enough issue to disqualify you from Birchas Kohanim. But if it's just about the fact that you took a human life and there's blood on your hands, regardless of whether you did the worst issue in the world or not the worst issue in the world, but you have blood on your hands, then the person who vehicular homicide should also be apostled from the Sias Kapayim. Or a person who kills an Akum, he has human blood on his hands, should also be apostle from the Sias Kapayim. So the Rav Shurmach points out, this is a machlok between the Prima Gadim and the Mishnah Brura. Prima Gadim says that a person kills an Ovid Kochavim, he's apostle from the Sias Kapayim, but the Mishnah Brura says that someone who's Horeg Ubar, if a person kills a fetus, he can still be no Sias Kapav. Why? Because you're not Chayav Misa for killing a fetus. What you see from that Mishnah Brura, says Rav Shurmach, is any murder for which you're not Chayav Misa is not going to disqualify you from Birchas Kohanim. Killing a fetus, not that it's not murder, it is murder, but it's you're not chayiv misa for it, and therefore it's not going to disqualify you from Birchas Kohanim. Killing an Ovid Kochavim is also murder, but it could be lo sirtzach. The post can write that way, that it's a violation of the Meshachachim writes this way, Kes Mishnah sounds this way, that it's a violation of lo sirtzach to kill an Ovid Kochavim. It's just that you're not chayiv misa for it, but it is a violation of lo sirtzach. And therefore, it's murder, and that would not necessarily, according to the Mishnah Berurah, possibly from the Sias Kapayim, because it's only if you're chayv misa for the lo sirtzach that it's going to possibly you from the Sias Kapayim. So that's what Rav Shurmach says. So in our case, if someone who kills an Ovid Kochavim by not being amazed, he just was driving recklessly, even though had he killed the Yisrael in that situation, it would be considered a poshea that's karav l'mezid, and it would disqualify him by killing an Ovid Kochavim in a way where he wasn't even trying to kill anybody, he was just driving recklessly. He doesn't think that would disqualify him from the Sias Kapayim. But then he gets into the discussion about war. What about the Rav Moshe's case, the Kohen that goes out to war? So he says something a little different than Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said, well, if someone holds a gun to your head and tells you to kill somebody and you kill someone, you're still allowed to do the Sias Kapayim. So certainly when it's when you weren't, and that's an avera to kill someone in that situation. So certainly when you're not doing an avera, when you're drafted into the army and you have to go, so certainly you're not gonna be disqualified. Rav Shurmach just adds another point. He says war is not called ritzicha at all. It just doesn't take on this. It wouldn't be categorized as ritzicha. War is tivo shalala. That's the nature of the way the world works, that countries fight wars with each other. And we don't look at it as an iser ritzicha. And this is a very big theme that comes up in, you know, when with Hakamas HaMedina, the Jewish people had a lot to figure out, because to run a country involves a lot of things. It involves running a government, figuring out a system of taxation, obviously, and an army, and what a Jewish army means, and what a Jewish police force means, and how to enforce things, and if there's ever a way to do things kahalacha, and running electricity on Shabbos, and all of these different things that they had to figure out. One of the things that they had to figure out is, What about when there's a threat to our land, and we can fight and lose some lives but protect our land? Land for peace became a big issue. That was when there was still a chalom that when you give up land, that would actually buy you peace. That very rarely we found is the case. But in the event that there is such a case where you can give up land and get peace, are you obligated to give up land in order to give peace? So Rav Schachter in Sefer Bikvei Hatzon has a long kuntros on this topic, and he points out that a lot of people are viewing this problem all wrong, because they're viewing it not from a national perspective, they're viewing it from an individual perspective. So they say, well, what's the halacha? If a Jewish life is at stake, you have to violate every issur in the Torah rather than to let that person die, unless it's one of the harigali arbas. You can't do avodah zarah, you can't do kidarais, can't do shvichas damim. But anything else you could violate in order to save that life, including giving away Israel. So if you can give away land in Israel, this is what a lot of big rabbis said, if you give away land in Israel in order to save even a single Jewish life, it's worth it. So, but that's a misunderstanding of the whole concept of war. We can't view the concept of war as a single Jewish life. War is tivo shalom. That's the way the world goes. And we don't look at it as a pikuach nefesh of an individual in a war effort. A country wins a war when there are, as difficult as it is to say, minimal casualties, and they were able to put down the other army, and they were able to succeed in defending itself. It's pikuach nefesh of a country to give up its land, because that's what defines the country, is the land. So you have to view pikuach nefesh on an entirely different level. So Rav Sternbach doesn't quite go that far. He doesn't say, nor would he probably, but he says that the idea of war is tivo shel olam, it's the nature of the world. And there is no iser of fighting milchama. So he says, certainly, if a kohen goes out to war and fights and kills somebody, it certainly would not passel him from the Nesias Kapayim. He says, and the proof is that a kohen is allowed to go out to war. There's no isser for a kohen to go out to war. The Gemara in Kiddushin discusses, is a kohen allowed to take a yifas tovar? If a kohen goes out to war and he sees a beautiful woman on the other side, is he allowed to take her? The assumption of that question is that the kohen is being sent to war. But if being sent to war would necessarily passel him from avoda, are we going to do that? We're going to send a guy out to war and passel him from avoda? So Elamai, we must be assuming that it's not going to passel him from avoda. It's not going to passel him from Brit Kohanim. That and certainly by a Milchemes Mitzvah, and even by a Milchemes HaRashus. Milchemes HaRashus means you get Rashus from the Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin is going to say, it's okay, you can go fight. It's not going to passel him from doing the avoda. He says that it's interesting, he found in the Sefer Binyan Shlomo, Rav Shumrach quotes all this, that he found in the Sefer Binyan Shlomo, it was Mesupuk, whether a Kohen is Chayiv in Parsha Zachar. Strange stuff, you know? Who's Pater from Parsha Zachar? So the Sefer Achinuch has a comment, which in itself is strange, that a woman is Pater from Parsha Zachar. Why is a woman Pater from Parsha Zachar? Because Parsha Zachar is not really just about reading the Parsha. We read about Amalek so that we can be reminded that we're supposed to destroy Amalek, we're supposed to kill Amalek. And it's supposed to motivate us. It's supposed to get our blood boiling. We hear about Amalek, okay, now we're going to be motivated. We're going to come out on fire to try to destroy Amalek. But that's only for B'nai Milchama. Nashim who are lav B'nos Milchama, they don't fight in wars. Melu their pater from Parsha Zachar. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch says. Now that alone is questionable for so many reasons. Milchas Chinuch jumps all over that. He says, the Gemara in Sota says, that when it, by Milchemes HaRashos, you're right, a woman doesn't fight. A Milchemes Mitzvah, Afilu, Kala mechupasa is the lashon of the Mishnah. Even a kala from rechupa is taken out from milchemes mitzvah. Everyone helps by a milchemes mitzvah. Second of all, the Sefer HaChinuch is being dorish time of dekra. He's making his own halachas based on what he assumes the reason for Parsha Zachar is. Maybe the reason for Parsha Zachar is just that we should hate Amalek and we're supposed to have that hatred for Amalek. Maybe it's not about the war. Maybe the war is a separate thing. We kill Amalek and we also hate Amalek. And Parsha Zachar is about the hating Amalek, not the killing Amalek. Who told the Sefer HaChinuch that it's about the killing of Amalek? And it's also questionable because the Sefer HaChinuch assumes that if it's about the killing of Amalek, there's no value in having the women hate Amalek because they're not going to be fighting. Well, let me ask you something. Who do you think has a greater impact on the way a child views the world and a child's hashkafos and a child's, you know, what irks a child, what upsets him, what makes him happy, what kinds of things, the father or the mother? And certainly when the child is very young, the mother is one that's the primary caregiver usually of the child and the one that passes on sensitivities to the child. So if you want the children, the next generation, to fight a milchama against Amalek, isn't it important that the mother have that sense that that you know, I know growing up in my house, my grandfather and my grandfather would talk about the Holocaust in terms of Holocaust stories. He would tell us what happened to him, whatever. But when he'd see a Mercedes, he didn't cringe. But my grandmother, it was a totally different thing. When she saw a Jew driving a Mercedes, it just drove her nuts. It made her absolutely crazy. That was the kind of thing that a woman will pass on, but a man is not always going to pass on. Men sometimes pass on certain sensitivities less so than women do. So if you want to pass on this idea of Amalek, you really don't want the women to be on board? Don't you need the women on board in order to pass it on? So the Sefer HaChinuch is questionable for a million reasons. But the Binyan Shlomo says, assuming like the Sefer HaChinuch, that a woman is Pater from Parshas Zachar, a Kohen should be Pater from Parshas Zachar also. Because he also can't fight in a war, because he's not allowed to kill anybody. Because he can't become Tameh, he can't do it, he's going to be Pasal Avoda. So Shlomo says he doesn't understand what in the world he's talking about. Sefer HaChinuch itself is difficult to understand. But to apply this to Kohanim, who said that a Kohen doesn't go fight a war? He says, Tevarav Tumu'in. Kohanim b'nei Melchamininu. Certainly Kohanim fight war. Especially Melchemes Amalek. That's the ultimate Melchemes Mitzvah. So certainly Kohanim fight in wars. There's a long tshuva in the Sefer Lahoros Nasan, of Nasan Gishtetner. Nasan Gishtetner was a contemporary posek. I think he lived in B'nai Brak, maybe Yerushalayim, I don't remember. He just passed away a couple of years ago. When I was in Israel, I remember he had just passed away, so all the signs, you know, Rav Agod, Rav Nassim Gishtetner. So Rav Nassim Gishtetner, in his Lahoros Nassim, was asked, what about a Kohen who embarrasses people publicly? Is he allowed to be Nosei Kapod? So what's the Shaila? The Gemara says that it's Noach Ladin Lahapil Asmul Tov Kivshneish Al Yabba Pnecha Ver Barabin. Gemara Sota Daf Yud, better for a person to be thrown into a furnace rather than embarrass him publicly. Okay, but that doesn't mean it's murder. But the Rabbeinu Yonah explains that when a person embarrasses someone publicly, the Gemara really says that the blood drains from his face and it's like shvichas dam. It's considered like murder. So if you have a Kohen that embarrasses someone publicly, would you say that he can't be Nosei Kapod? So this may depend on the Chakira that we had a little bit. If you say it's about the Isser, and you take that literally, that the Isser of embarrassing someone publicly is like the Isser with Sicha in that, it's Yaharig Val Yavar, which seems to be the assumption of Tosfos. It seems to be the assumption of Rabbeinu Yonah. That it's Mamish Yaharig Val Yavar. Tosfos Masechta Sota says, how come whenever we list the Yaharig Val Yavars, we only say Avodah Zarah Gilui Ra'ah Shvichas Dam, we don't mention anything about embarrassing someone publicly? Shouldn't that also be on the list? So Tosfos says, yeah, it should be, but we don't put things on the list that aren't explicit in the Pasuk. So the Tosfos assumes that, yeah, it should be on the list, and it is something that's Yaharig Val Yavar. Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, it should be on the list, and it is on the list, because murder is on the list, and that's just another form of murder. So Rabbeinu Yonah also assumes that it's Mamash Yaharig Val Yavar. Now granted, those are the only two Rishonim that talk about it, and you can't assume that the other Rishonim, you know, Shtika Koda, that the other Rishonim agree to that just because they don't say anything about it. It's too wild of a Chiddush to say that everyone who doesn't talk about it agrees to that, but there are two Gedolei Rishonim that assume that embarrassing someone is the same, is Yaharig Val Yavar just like murder is Yaharig Val Yavar. So if the issue of a Kohen that killed someone not being Nosei Kapov is an issue of the Avera that he did, the Chomer Avera, well, someone who embarrasses someone publicly did just as severe an Avera. But if you say that it's about having blood on your hands, well, he doesn't have any blood on his hands, he didn't actually take a human life, and therefore he would be allowed to be Nosei Kapov. So this is a very fascinating discussion. I included it in the Mar Mekomos in the back. We're not going to read it now, but it's a very fascinating discussion of Nosei Gishtetner has about a Kohen who embarrasses someone publicly. It's just interesting. He starts with the tshuva from the Maral Bach, where the Maral Bach was asked about a Kohen that Yotza Alav Kol Shehika Na'ar Vames, that there was a rumor going around about this Kohen that he had killed a child, that he had hit a child and killed him. And Hika Ishamu Uberes Vihipila, this guy is not winning any awards for Tzaddik of the Year or anything. He beat up a woman, a pregnant woman, and caused her to miscarry. Vigam biza kama v'kama anashim, and he also humiliated and publicly embarrassed many, many people. Umehem balei Torah, and certainly Talmidei Chacham amongst them. Bebizyonos uklon beknufya, with all sorts of bizyonos in a public way. Ukimat lo nishar bal Torah b'mitzrayim shelo bizah u'bisho b'dvar mecharim u'gunim. There wasn't a single Talmid Chacham left in all of Egypt that he hadn't totally been mevazeh. So in answering that question, he says that since hitting the hitting of the child was only be'ed echad, so we don't know that it really happened, and causing a woman to miscarry is not considered something that would pass you from nisiyas kapayim, so he says you have to let him do it. Unless he admits, unless he knows that he took a life, you have to let him do it. And he never addresses the fact that this guy embarrassed everyone. So Rav Nelson starts with that. Maral Bach never even addresses the fact that he embarrassed everyone because he didn't think it was an issue. He thought that's a non-issue when it comes to Nisiyas Kapayim, that he embarrasses everyone. Now, the truth is, it may not be the issue of murder, but it may be a different issue. What's the other issue that it might be? Part of Birchas Kohanim, it's in the bracha itself. Yeah, it has to be with shalom and ahava. The whole thing has to be with the sense of ahava and shalom. And if there are people in the shul that are irked by that kohen being there and they don't want him to be the conduit for the blessing, that itself would be a problem. It could be that he has a responsibility not to do birchas kohanim. So we didn't discuss doctors, but lechora it would be. Let's take this case. There's a Tshuvas Devar Yehoshua that talks about a moel. Right, so it would be a very similar case. Moel in Berachos Kohanim. So he says, the Tshuvas Devar Yehoshua, which I couldn't get into the Mar Makomos, but I'll read to you, he says, that which we say in Orchaim Kuv Chavchesef Lamed Vav, Molas Atinok Umeis No Seas Kapav, that if a person mals a baby and the baby dies, he doesn't see his kapayim, and this is unfortunately Halach L'maisa with Metzitza B'peh. There were cases that at least they're still arguing whether it's true or not, but the health officials say that it is true, that a moel with oral suction of the wound has passed the disease to the baby and caused the baby to die. So if that's true, that would be a case of a guy who's malat, he's trying to do a mitzvah, he holds that mitzitza peh, the molem that's still insists on mitzitza peh, I think it's the biggest mitzvah in the world, so they're trying to do a mitzvah, and the baby dies from it. So they could still be noseas kapav. And the Magen Avraham says, the first reason is that he's a chavin l'shem mitzvah. He's having kavan l'shem mitzvah. And it can't mean that he's, so it says the Dvar Yeshua, it can't mean that it's just the kavana alone that makes it okay. Dize'ino d'lo adif mo'ol me'rofe shem hemis chayiv galus. A doctor, if he kills someone, has to go to Galus, has to go to near Miklat if he kills someone b'shogeg. Da matzo mahu lav mitzvah, hakamo b'chativa tzeitzim l'sukah sharachim b'zel el. He says, the halach is, if you find a baby that's already gemalt, you have no mitzvah to mal him. So it's not really a mitzvah for you to be involved in that mila. Teda delo katani mol b'hadi av shikas b'no v'rav harodes talmido, mishum d'mol dami l'chote v'etzim l'sukah l'fisha ikra mitzvah shia nimol. He says something very difficult to understand. The Gemara in Maseches Makos, the Mishnah Maseches Makos Daf Ches, talks about if someone kills someone b'shogeg, that you have to go to Galus, you go to near Miklat. Whereas says, what if you kill someone while you're doing a mitzvah? What's an example of killing someone? The Mishnah gives three examples, killing someone while you're doing a mitzvah. You're the guy in Beis Din, whose job it is to whip the people who are Chayv Malkus. And you hit him one too many times, and you killed him by accident. So you don't go to Galus, because you're doing the mitzvah. The other example, second example the Mishnah gives, that was actually the third example I mentioned first. One of the other examples the Mishnah gives is if you, you're a father trying to teach your kid, and you hit your kid, and you accidentally kill him. That's doing a mitzvah, because the father's supposed to hit the kid. That's not. I'm not saying halach l'mais, I'm saying this is what the Mishnah says. Another example the Mishnah gives, a Rebbe hitting the Talmud to get him to learn. Definitely not saying halach l'mais. And while the Rebbe is hitting the kid, he kills the kid. The Gemara raises the question, but wait a second, is it always a mitzvah for the Rebbe to hit the kid? The definition of a mitzvah is something that you must do regardless of what the situation is. So how can you say that it's by giving malchus, you have to do that? The situation is anyone's chayv malchus, that's your job. So that's something you have to do. There's no, the guy could say, I'm sorry from today till tomorrow, it's not going to help. But let's say you're about to hit the kid and the kid starts learning. So would you still have a chiv to hit the kid? So the Gemara says, yeah, you should still hit the kid because it's good for him. Very, very unclear what that means, but the Gemara assumes that even if he's learning, you would still hit him. But the definition of a mitzvah is something that you would have to do regardless. So the Gemara says, like for example, the Gemara says that the classic case in the Chumash of killing someone b'shogeg, where you do go to Galus, is you go to chop wood in a forest and the blade flies off the handle or a piece of wood flies off the tree and kills someone. So the Gemara says, you see, going to chop wood in the forest, there's no mitzvah in that. That's obviously only Dvar Rishus. But if you're doing a mitzvah, you wouldn't go to Galus. That's the deal the Gemara makes. So the Gemara says, who says chopping wood is not a mitzvah? Maybe chopping wood is a mitzvah. How could it be a mitzvah? This will be our connection to Erev Sukkos. How could it be a mitzvah? You're chopping wood for a sukkah. So it is a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, chopping wood for a sukkah is not a mitzvah. Because if you went and you found that the wood was already chopped, you wouldn't have to chop the wood. I mean, if you go to, you know, to Central Avenue and you buy, or wherever, the Sukkah Depot or whatever, and you buy a pop-up, you know, put together, you know, paddle sukkah, you don't have to chop any wood. No one has to chop wood. Chopping wood's not the mitzvah. It's only if you don't have anything else, then you need to chop the wood. Then you have to chop, but that doesn't make it a mitzvah. So this Tver Yeshua wants to say that the mole is the same way. That giving the baby a milah is not considered a mitzvah. Because if you have him already mal, if he's already gemalt, then there's no mitzvah to mal him. Very strange comparison, no? Someone has to do the mitzvah of mila on him. Let's say a baby is nolad mahu. He's born with a bris mila. I mentioned in the past, that one of my first years teaching, the father comes into parent-teacher conferences and says, sits down, first thing he says, you should know, my son was born with a bris mila. So he still talks too much during the Gemara. I don't know why that's relevant, but sometimes a baby's born with a bris milah. So what do? You still have to do a tavs dam bris. A maisa milah is critical. So Dvar Yeshua says, no, the whole thing is that sheyehei nimol, that he should be gemalt. There's no din in doing a milah. Very, very difficult to understand what he's talking about. And he wants to say, and because of that, if you kill someone while you're doing the bris, it's not called that you're doing a mitzvah. And therefore, you're still a rotzeach and you're still not being osik kapah. Very, very strange. One would think that that's called that you're osik in the mitzvah. You would think the doctor is the same, that the doctor would be, that he'd be osik in a mitzvah. Okay, that's a little bit about, or a lot about the psul rotzeach. I wanted to really focus more on the issue of what is the status of the Yisraelim during Birchas Kohanim. Is there a mitzvah on the Yisrael? In the Sefer Charedim, he writes that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is a mitzvah on the Kohen Levarich as Yisrael, the Ha'am Nami Bechlala Mitzvah, the Sefer Charedim says. That the people are also part of the mitzvah. And that's what Rabbi Kivega writes in his Hagos and Shulchan Aruch Chuf Chav Ches Sef Aleph, and then from the Sefer Charedim, that the Am is also included. And L'chora, that seems to be the sheet of Tosos and Chagigah Daf Tazayin. Last week when we started this shiur, we said that it has a relationship to the end of Chagigah, because we were still holding there. Now we're 2 days into Yevamos already. But it's a Tosos and Chagigah Daf Tazayin, where the Tosos says that you're not allowed to look at the hands of the Kohanim while they are duchening because of Hesach Hadas. What does Hesach Hadas mean? You're going to lose focus, because you're going to be taken by the weird way they're holding their hands or whatever. So that's why you're not allowed to look. It's very different than what we normally assume, which is also as a source of Tosos quotes, the idea that the Shechin is there, and every that Tosos quotes that from Yerushalmi. But the one of the reasons Tosos gives, they're not allowed to look at the hands. No, the Shechin is not there. That was only in the Beis Hamikdash. Nowadays, it's not like that. The only reason not allowed to look is Hesach Hadas. It's going to be distracted. Who cares if I'm distracted? I'm a Yisrael. I'm not doing Birchas Kohanim. The Kohen is doing Birchas Kohanim. What does it matter if I'm distracted? So what do you see from that Tosfos? That apparently it does matter. Apparently my focus is important also. Apparently the Yisrael is Bechlal, the mitzvah. Dvar Avraham writes that even according to the Charedim, that the mitzvah is on the Yisrael to be misbarech, to be blessed by the Kohanim, says the Dvar Avraham, it's also in the back of the packets, so if you're not going to read inside, that still you're not going to say that the mitzvah on the Kohanim and the mitzvah on the Yisrael is the same mitzvah. It's got to be different. The Kohanim have a requirement to seek out the mitzvah, to try to make sure they do Birchas Kohanim. Certainly, according to Rabbeinu Manoach, it's according to Beis Yosef, that a Kohen is over b'shlosha esim if he decides not to go up to Duchen, but on the Aseh of Kosavarchu, he's mitzuvah to be mvarich Yisrael as soon as he's called up. And that's certainly generally the accepted opinion, that he's in violation of some halacha by not going to be mevarich. So certainly he has a chiv to go look for a tzibur to be mevarich, and if he doesn't, it could be that it's a bitul mitzvah say. Even if he's called up and he doesn't go up, then it's a violation of three mitzvahs. But if he isn't called up, according to some rishonim, it's still a bitul mitzvah say. meaning just by not being in a position to do Birch Karnak to Bitl Mitzvah, say, what about Yisrael? Does Yisrael have to say, I haven't been blessed by a Kohen today, so I have to go be in a shul where I can have Birch Karnak? And that he doesn't have to do, because if that were true, if you think about it for a second, our minhag is we don't do Birchas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz, except for on Yontif. Who does Birchas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz? Even not on Yontif? Sephardim. So should we all make sure to stop and pop into a Sephardi shul, you know, in the morning, after we finish our own davening and our own nusach, just pop into a Sephardi shul during Chazar Shatz, get our Birchas Kohanim, because that's a mitzvah. Look, as a Kohen, the minhag is that the Kohen shouldn't be Mevarich, but why shouldn't I get a bracha? Well, we have to work with the assumption that there's no mitzvah for Yisrael to get the bracha, meaning even if there is a mitzvah for Yisrael to get the bracha, to participate when the bracha is being given, he doesn't have to look for the bracha. He doesn't have to search out the bracha. So, but what you do see from this Tosos, and Maseches Chagiga, is that there is some role of the Yisrael in the mitzvah. Now, the Emek bracha brings a riot to the idea that the Yisrael plays a role over here. If you look in source number 19, the Emek Bracha writes, "Va'ani matzasi raya l'divrei acharedim b'sefer ha'mektzoos, huva b'pirush ha'raivu l'masachas tam perek zayim mishnah beis kasav zel shona." He says, "I found a great riot to the Sefer Charedim in the quoted from Pirush ha'raivid on Masachas Tamid." And he says as follows, "Heicha di'ika nida b'beisa de kohen, asale l'mesak l'duchin kal emas di'isa b'nidasa." That when there's a nida in the house of the Kohen, he shouldn't, we don't pass like this in the Mayas, obviously, he shouldn't go in duchen while she's benidasa. Because we're afraid that maybe he touched something that she touched and he's going to become tamei. His tefillah, if he was in the house with the nida, his tefillah on the Yisrael is going to be a toeva. El she'eno, here's the key line, she'eno motzias Yisrael yidei chavasan. And if his tefillah is a toeva, he's not going to be able to motzias Yisrael yidei chavasan. What does that mean? No, motzias Yisrael yidei chavasan. What chiv? It's a chiv on the Kohanim. What you see from that raivit is that it's a chiv on Yisrael. Now, you may say, well, wait a second, it's hard to bring a raya from a raivit where everything he says from Aleph to Tav, we don't pass him like, you know, the whole thing. If he's in the house of a nida, if his daughter's a nida, his mother's a nida, his wife's a nida, and he was in the house and he might have touched something that was, you know, that was touched by a nida, we don't hold of any of those things. So you can bring a raya. But a lot of those types of issues, the tumor-related issues, all the Rishonim, a lot of the major Rishonim spoke about and took very, very seriously, and for whatever reason, our minhag has changed about a lot of those things. But in terms of who the chiv of Birchas Kohanim is on, that's not something that should have changed over time. And the fact that the Raivin assumes for a Dav Rapashut that you need to be Motzi Yisrael Yudei Chavasan, that implies that there's certainly a chiv on the Yisrael. From that Lashon of Eino Motzi Yisrael Yudei Chavasan, that certainly sounds like there's a din on the Yisrael to get the bracha. Now, the parallel that I've seen about this, the parallel that I've seen about Birchas Kohanim is, about the role of Yisrael in Birchas Kohanim is I saw the Torah Tamima once, I didn't put it in the Mar Makomos, but Torah Tamima compares it to a woman's role in Pru Ravu. What way is Yisrael's role in Birchas Kohanim similar to a woman's role in Pru Ravu? Is a woman mitzvah in Pru Ravu? The answer is clearly no. A man is chayv in Pru Ravu, a woman is not. Mesh Chachma is a whole beautiful idea that the reason a woman isn't chayv in Pru Ravu is because the Torah is drachah darchinon l'chol nesiv v'seh shalom. The Torah is supposed to be sweet, it's supposed to be pleasant. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to give such a painful mitzvah to a woman. So what did he do instead? He gave them maternal instinct. So they want to do it. So they want to have children. But he couldn't make it a mitzvah because it's so painful. So he didn't want to make it a mitzvah for them. But for a man, it's not painful. So for a man, he's chayiv in the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. A woman's not chayiv in Pru Ravu. Let's say a man wants to do the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. What does he need? He needs a woman. But a woman's not chayiv in Pru Ravu. So it's an impossibility to do the mitzvah without someone helping you to do the mitzvah, someone who's not chayiv helping you to do the mitzvah. So the Torah Tamima says that creates... Not, you wouldn't call it a mitzvah, but it creates an achrayus. It creates a certain sense of responsibility that if she knows, if womankind knows that mankind cannot do this mitzvah without our participation. They have an achrayus to participate in a way that the mitzvah will be able to happen. Not a chiyuv, but an achrayus. Says the Torah to me, but that's what the Israelim are in Birchas Kohanim. If every time the Kohanim went up to Duch and the Israelim said, well, this has nothing to do with us, and they just walked out, then the Kohanim would have no one to bless, and then there would be no Birchas Kohanim. So the Israelim have to recognize that their role is such that they need to be involved in the Birchas Kohanim in some way. Now, the Ritva in Maseches Sukkah, on the Aflamet Aleph and Beis, in source number 20, seems to assume that the Israel does not have a mitzvah in Birchas Kohanim. I'm not going to be able to read the whole Ritva now. We're running out of time over here. But he seems to assume that there's no mitzvah for the Yisrael in Birchas Kohanim. And the Rashi, this is a better writing. Look at Rashi in source number 21. The Mishnah says, "Katan zeinu paris al shema." So what does Rashi say? Because he's bal lahotzi rabbi midecha vasan. He's trying to be motzi other people that are chiyuv, and since he's not mechiyuv b'davar, he can't be motzi others. And then it says, "Eino nosi kapav." If the katan is a kohen, he shouldn't duchan. Why? So I would say same thing. He can't be motzi others in their chiyuv because he's a katan. He's not mechiyuv b'davar. Says Rashi. No, Rashi doesn't mention a word about that. He just says shame kavod shel tzibur lios kfuf in the brachaso. It's not covered at tzibur that the tzibur should need the bracha of the child kohen. Why didn't Rashi say that he can't be motzi them in their chiyuv? What you see from Rashi is that there is no such thing as being motzi them in their chiyuv. They have no chiyuv. It's his chiyuv. He's the kohen. The Israelim have no chiyuv, so it's not an issue of being motzi them in their chiyuv. So you see, Rashi holds apparently not like that Ravid, that there's no chiyuv in the Israelim. It's interesting. There's a big nafkamina whether it's an issue of him being motzi them in their chiyuv or it's not, or it's an issue of kavarat tzibur. If it's an issue of kavarat tzibur, that it shows that they are zakuk librachaso, that they need his bracha, that would only be a problem if he's the only one being mevarich. But if it's a group of kohanim and there are adults and children in the group, then that would be fine. But if it's an issue of he's not doing anything, he's not accomplishing anything, so his bracha is bracha vatol because he can't be motzi anybody anything. How could he say bracha on behalf of the tzibur? About being motzi the tzibur, then the katan shouldn't be mevarich at all. So it seems like we paskin that the tzibur has no chiv, because if we paskin that the tzibur did have a chiv, then the katan shouldn't be allowed to duchen at all. And most of the time we do allow a katan at a certain age to duchen together with an adult, not alone, we don't allow it alone, but together with an adult we allow a katan to duchen at a certain age. So pashas, I would think that it's more like what the Torah Tmimah says, that it's not a chiyuv on the Israel, but it's an achrayus on the Israel to see to it that the Kohanim are able to fulfill this mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Okay.